3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 519. I'm going to call this podcast Off the Rails because we're kind of off the rails. So we're going to talk about being off the rails, and not me. I'm talking about the rest of the world seems to be going off the rails in the present time frame. So we're going to talk about that in podcast 519 as we get ready for the big 4th of July holiday in the United States. If you're in business for yourself, or if you are working for a big company and you're doing marketing, you know how important it is for businesses to show their clients how much they are appreciated. And that usually takes the form of a client lunch or dinner. Sometimes people go on fishing trips. That's kind of old school. You know, you're always trying to find new ways to do that. You can send them promotional things with your company name on it. You can put their picture on Instagram or on Facebook. You can send them a video. I remember when I worked in radio, they were like, send the client a video. They really like that. Or the Minnesota Classic, which is taking a boat trip on the lake in the evening, or that riverboat trip. Or you can try something new. And I bring this up because we are working in a much more diverse workplace. You know, the world is more diverse these days. And so the fishing trips and the boat trips and things like that that used to be so easy to do because it was your dad and five of his friends that were clients for 50 years, you know, and everybody knew everybody. You know, today you got a whole different thing. Your clients are, you know, all over the place and they're different kinds of people. So you need to do something that's different, that's social, and that's memorable, where you can socialize and bond with your clients, engaged in creating something really unique that they will remember. And you can do that at Brush Studio in the West End in St. Louis Park. Brush Studio events are held in a relaxed and social setting. It's a really cool place. They are event planning ninjas at Brush. What happens is an artist guides all of your people through painting a painting. It's not paint by numbers. They actually paint a painting, and they come away really amazed at what they're able to do. It's really a fun thing to do. Brush Studio events aren't about painting. It's not hard, but it's about socializing and working together. And then if you're the guy that's put this thing together, you get a chance to go and talk to your clients and work with your clients and get to know them and have a good time with them. So it's a cool place. As I said, it's in the West End. 55 people can get in there or more, plus catering from Crave in the West End, which is great. Brush Studio also has 22 brands of beer and an extensive wine collection. So it's a fun, sophisticated way to create a new bonding experience that your clients are never going to forget, and they will love you for it because it's a new thing. And a lot of times people take those paintings and hang them on their walls because they think it's so cool, or on their office, and so they're never going to forget you for that. So here's what you do. Don't just listen to me. Check out the Brush Studio banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page, which takes you to brushstudio.net. They have video there that shows how it works and what they do. Reach out to Brush Studio if you're looking for an event to show your clients how much they are appreciated. It's affordable. 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. Brush Studio. Well, after an extensive microphone and recording facility setup here on the deck at the Bob Davis Podcasts broadcast bunker, I am broadcasting live from the deck for the first time in the summer months. And I love broadcasting live out here, doing podcasts live out on the deck during the summer because you're not cold. I mean, I can do these in the spring and the fall, but it gets a little chilly out here at 1 o'clock in the morning during those sort of transition seasons. Now, it's kind of chilly out here tonight, but it's pleasant. But I've got an origami fire started, and I've got my assortment of sticks here. I've already broken them up because I realized that I broke up the sticks once before on another podcast. So I'm not going to do that in this podcast, but we put them in the fire. There. So most of them are broken up, but now I got a little fire, and that keeps me... That's going to keep me... much warmer. So we got a little fire going. Hopefully the smoke won't travel this way into the computer and the microphones, but that, because then I'll have an emergency situation. But I just thought, you know, here's another night where I started to write a podcast, and I decided, no, I'm not going to write it. I'm going to talk this one as well. So it's weird because, and I'll tell you where it started. It started with the radio show where, I mean, I was fully prepared for the radio show that I did where I filled in for a friend of mine at this radio station. And, you know, I do what I always did when I was on the radio every day. I fully prepared and I was all set and everything else. But then once I got past the whole sort of ice-breaking part, the first 10 or 20 minutes of the show, I started just doing this. I had a great time, by the way. And then that sort of got me back to just kind of talking in podcasts rather than, you know, I don't want to say writing them out because I never write them out, but I outline these podcasts because I am so ADD and so OCD or whatever you want to call it that I go off and so what's the big thing that everyone says I have? Asperger's. I'm like mildly Asperger and I just go off in all these different directions and I hate that. I would like to think of myself as more organized of a thinker than just jumping off the water into off the diving board into the water, but it's so fantastic out here, and I set up microphones. So I've got microphones on the other side of the deck. Can you hear me over there? So if you hear a little echo, that's because there's another mic set up over there. It's so quiet. We're pretty much done with the planes. You can kind of hear the freeway way back in the background. There is almost virtually no wind tonight. I've got the tiki torches set up. I've got my computer on my little table out here on the deck, and I've got the origami fire in the background. And you can probably just barely hear the origami fire going. Or what do we call it? The kabuki fire. Whatever. I don't know. It's some Japanese name. It's not an origami fire. It's something else. I always forget what it is. I need Mitch here, my web guy, to tell me what it was because Mitch always knows. But, yeah, Off the Rails does not describe my role in this podcast, but Off the Rails, I was going to call this End of an Era, and then I realized I actually have done probably two or three podcasts entitled End of an Era, because it's a theme that I return to regularly. But what started it out today was just, you know, doing the whole thing with reviewing the news and trying to figure out what to talk about, and just not wanting to talk about the same crap that everyone else is talking about. And by the way, I'm not going to give you a detailed list of the same crap that everyone's talking about, because that would be talking about the same crap that everyone's talking about. And I'll tell you what I've been thinking about. I was going to call this podcast End of an Era, and the reason to do it was to consolidate the stuff that we have been talking about in the podcasts over the last, you know, probably week or 2 weeks, but really over quite some time, because they have been oddly prescient. And I say prescient or prescient. Some people pronounce it prescient or prescient, but it is having knowledge of events before they happen. Now, I've had people tell me, I've had psychics tell me that I get information somehow before everyone else. I don't know how that happens. But oddly enough, and I'm not trying to say I'm psychic, I guess what I'm trying to say is oddly enough, I think it's the way I look at the news, and I think it's the filters that I use, and I think it's the way I prep for these podcasts that enables me to kind of see what's coming and connect the dots before the average person who just happens to be reading the newspaper or a newspaper or checking the news back and forth on their iPhone. When I've done news cleanses, I find myself in exactly the same situation where I might be surprised by a particular news story on a given day because I'm doing a news cleanse. I'm not doing this every day. But when I jump back in and do it every day, then it's a different story entirely. So the last few podcasts, you know, whether it was the podcast that I did prior to the British exit vote, as well as the foreign policy podcasts and some of the political podcasts that have been really pretty, you know, closely packed political podcasts, they have been oddly prescient in terms of predicting where things are kind of headed. And I was going to do another End of an Era podcast because I do feel that we are, I feel it very today, tonight, you know, at the beginning of this summer, starting with the Orlando attack and now with the attack in Istanbul, I feel it in a very pronounced way. And, you know, when you try to outline a podcast or a radio show, it slips between your fingers. It's very It's very ephemeral. It's very impermanent. It just, you can't seem to get a handle on it because there, it's not something that you can define. It's not something that you can quantify. It is a feeling that we have come to the end of the road and something new is ahead of us. And the thing that I realized tonight when I decided I was going to call this the end of an era, now I'm not going to call it that. I'm going to call it off the rails because you look around you and you're like, wait a minute, did we take a wrong turn? Or have you ever gone hiking and gotten lost? I always tell the story about how we went to a friend of mine in Los Angeles, and I went to this place up in the mountains in just way north of Vandenberg in California, and it was we got lost up there, and we took a couple of wrong turns. I'll tell you why. It's called Hesperia. Hesperia. Hisperia. Don't ever go there. Hesperia apparently is where is a place. It's a ranch or a reserve or something. Apparently, I can't tell if it's private land or what it is. But there are hot springs up in this area, and everybody goes there to go to the hot springs at Hesperia. This is a number of years ago, and she was all like, we should go and it's going to be great and blah, 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 blah. So we went up there and we ran into nothing but one weird person after another. And then we went to the hot springs and some guy that had just gotten out of jail, showed us how to get the water and you put mint in a bottle and blah, 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 blah. And she had this dog. And, somewhere in the conversation coming back, it was, and by the way, I neglected to say, and I've told this story 100 times, so I apologize if you've heard it before. They give you a map when you go to the gate, and a Charles Manson looking guy gives you this map, and it says, it shows you how to get to the hot springs. And he goes, you got a zig, and you got a zag, and you got a zig, and you got a zag. And so it's zig right, zig left, zig whatever. And, of course, nobody can remember it, so they get lost back there all the time. And that's what it feels like. So we were coming back, and we were following the dog. And we were talking, following the dog, and suddenly we were like, where are we? And that's exactly how it feels right now. We were like, where are we? Well, to make a long story short, a couple of weeks later, she was talking to some friends in Santa Monica, they were all talking about, hey, what'd you do last weekend? And she goes, oh my God, we went up to Hesperia and we got lost and blah, 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 blah. And the guy was like, don't ever go there again. And she was like, why? And he goes, because that's where the Manson family lives and people disappear up there all the time. And I always finish the story off by telling people that there was choppers. They were looking for somebody. There was a guy's picture that was up on the wall, and there were so many weird people up there. I couldn't tell if it was California or if it was just genuinely a weird place. So this is what it feels like. Not that the whole world feels like Hesperia, but that it feels. This is what it feels like when you get off the trail and you look up and you're like, did we... where are we? Did we make a wrong turn? Or, today, of course, if you have a phone, you might be lucky enough to have GPS, but this is how people end up, dying. This is how people get attacked by mountain lions. This is how people end up having to call in someone to find them because they get lost doing this kind of stuff because the trail was relatively unmarked. We got out of it because I just dead reckoned where the parking lot was by the sun and everything else. And I said, we're going that way. And we left the trail. And she was like, we can't leave the trail. You are never to leave the trail. And I was like, we leave in the trail. So we slid down this hill and went under a barbed wire fence and marched up another hill. And by this time she was, telling me I was going to get assaulted. We're going to get killed and, everything else. And we came up over a hill and there was the parking lot. And I was like, there you go. So, that's the end of the story, but it does feel right now as though we are, just kind of off the tracks. Some examples. It's not okay to have an opinion that disagrees with people who support Black Lives Matter. You're supposed to sit down and shut up. But it is okay to say after three men in suicide vests carrying AK-47s attack an airport in Istanbul, it's okay to say that we don't have all the facts and we don't want to rush to judgment and say that this was ISIS. That's okay, but the other thing is not okay. It feels like the end of an era, and we're off the rails in our politics, where you have a Republican candidate who is spouting trade protectionist, rhetoric, and you have Republicans, establishment Republicans, supporting Hillary Clinton, and you have, I mean, everything is just completely up in the air. It feels like everything is wacky, and if you're paying really close attention to it, I mean, this is something that I see all these stories go by on a day-to-day basis. And I'm like, I don't really want to talk about that. No, I'm not interested in that. Oh, God. I mean, this is me listening. This is what you would be hearing if you were listening to me sitting at my kitchen table. And because there's two microphones out here, I'm going to have to wait for this plane to go over, which is a good idea, actually. Yeah, if you were sitting at my kitchen table with me while I was going through the news on a day-to-day basis, that's what you'd hear. That's ridiculous. I'm not talking about that. I don't want to talk about that. I'm not interested in this. I'm not interested in that. Because it's all just nonsense. It's just, it's all very reactionary. And one of the thoughts I had this weekend, and I've often talked about this as well, is we are increasingly in a situation where people feel the need to advocate for a particular side. And this is, I feel it too, but I'm not even sure how I feel about anything these days. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm not sure where we are going yet. And I don't have something that I can say, this is what I think is right. Because I don't think anything's right. That's the odd sort of feeling about this. So, we got off the trail and managed to get back on track by dead reckoning. How do you dead reckon in this kind of a situation? We'll talk about that coming up. That was a weird talk radio thing. We'll talk about it coming up. So I just took Mobile Podcast Command up to the mechanics to get the oil changed and get ready for operation. So I do appreciate the donations to the BobDavisPodcast.com for Mobile Podcast Command. Where did I get that ambulance? People ask me that all the time. Hey, where'd you get that? They want to know where I got it. I got it from XGovernmentCars.com. XGovernmentCars.com is Minnesota's only dealer specializing in one-owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. They're great. I've had 3 Crown Vics, and now, of course, Mobile Podcast Command, which is a Ford 450 Super Duty diesel ambulance. If you need a car or work truck, SUV, if you need a loan, if you have a job, you can get approved. Ex-Government Cars also takes trades. Ed Johnson of Ex-Government Cars laughs and he says, make sure that you tell them they can push it, pull it, or drag it in. They pay the highest values every day, and they don't go through a lot of BS. They're just going to tell you, this is what we can pay. And it's usually the highest value you can get for that thing, that piece of junk that you dragged in for the trade. Don't forget also the 3-day Love It guarantee exclusively at Ex-Government Cars. So get your butt down to Ex-Government Cars. They're now open in Forest Lake, Minnesota at 356 19th Street. They got a big lot there with a huge selection of Crown Vics, Impalas, if they still have a lot of the Crown Vics, the Ford Police sedans, Dodge Chargers, Ford Police SUVs, Expeditions, Yukons, the whole deal. They've got all kinds, SUVs, work trucks, vans, everything. Or you can call them at 763-777-8782, xgovernmentcars.com.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Of all the things I've talked about, so let's just review, because I want to try to give you some specifics of why I feel this way, as well as myself. What are some of the things I've talked about? I've talked about an increasingly partisan media that feels that it needs to advocate for a particular point of view. And every time there's a big story, you see it. You saw it with the British exit, where people who were shocked by the leave vote are you know, really adamantly opposing the people that voted to leave, calling them names, you know, pulling out all the stops. And almost all the coverage beforehand was, here's somebody writing an editorial for why we shouldn't, here's somebody who should, and rather than actually try to get into what the issue was, what the issue is, it just turned into a he said, she said, this way or that way kind of thing. This is the media overall. This is what is serves for news coverage. And I've talked about this in podcasts, and I think that you have a highly, informed populace that is deeply uninformed, because they know a lot about things that are written from an advocacy base. You've heard me talk. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's conspiracy theories like the UN's taking over, and here's the proof, a picture of, you know, a UN vehicle on a semi carrier someplace in Virginia headed north. Oh, they obviously are going to take over tomorrow. Or pictures of quote-unquote FEMA coffins in the desert. Well, I don't know what that is. I can't tell if they're coffins or not or whatever, but, you know, a picture will serve as proof of an overall theory, or because someone says, people will present theories extensively detailed, but they are really just theories. They're not necessarily proofs. And you almost have to be an attorney to go through these things and break them down step by step by step. And this goes on in everything. It goes on in all of our political coverage. It goes on in all of our coverage of foreign affairs. It goes on in especially even economic coverage. The only good news in the business world is at least you know when David Stockman writes an article, it's going to be critical of the Fed. Or you know when Paul Krugman writes an article, you kind of know where he's going to be coming from. So you don't. You know, you're not surprised when Krugman criticizes a Republican, and you're not surprised when David Stockman, tries to tear Janet, whatever her name is, Yellen, limb from limb at the Fed, or something to that effect. But for the most part, political coverage and coverage of what passes for coverage of news in this country, especially political coverage, is almost all some kind of partisan statement. One of my favorite I would call him a political scientist, you know, Sean Trendy at realclearpolitics.com, just wrote a piece today in which he said, you know, I feel bad because the pundits, you know, have gotten so many things wrong. And I thought to myself, why feel bad about that? You know, their job is not to predict the future. You know, prescience, for lack of a better term, is something that you arrive at. You have, if you have foreknowledge of an event, it's because you got there honestly and you say, I kind of feel this. You don't go out and say, the British should not leave the euro because bad things are going to happen if they do. That's up to the voters. That's not up to you as a pundit to tell people what they're supposed to think about this, that, or the other thing. Yeah, there are exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, most of these guys spend all of their time telling people what they should do. Why do they do that? Because it's cheap. I had a thought today. Talk is cheap. It's cheap it doesn't cost very much money for Fox News, and it gets great ratings if you have people who are, you know, attractive people who are well-spoken, who tell everyone what they should think. Because they're telling them what they want to hear, or they're telling them what they don't want to hear, or they're having the roundtable debates that people seem to really enjoy, which really is nothing more than just being excited because you're watching other people argue. And it works. It's cheap and it works. So why spend a lot of money trying to actually figure out what the contours of a story are? You know, why actually send people to Istanbul to investigate what happened? Why not just, you know, have people go on and rail about gun control or rail about, you know, Islamic fundamentalists in the United States? Why not just cover a politician who's going to say the same thing? Because, you know, all we got to do is set up a camera and send, you know, a producer. and we'll just have somebody in Washington sitting in front of a green screen, and that'll be on the green screen, and they can say what they want. And now everybody does it. You know, every guy who has a YouTube channel and a studio in his basement does exactly the same thing. Here's Donald Trump saying this. Here's, you know, this pastor saying this. And here's some pictures of a lake of fire. So this proves that Revelations is true. You know, that's what these people do because it's cheap. Nobody is actually saying, you know, let's actually investigate this. Let's go top to bottom on what the trade implications are of the British exit from the European Union. For example, no, I have not yet seen a list of the trade agreements that need to be renegotiated and the contours of those trade agreements. Not once have I seen anybody write a piece and say, here are the six main trade deals that need to be renegotiated on the part of Britain. Or, you know, we have a lot of fact-checking. Well, Donald Trump says this, but he's wrong. And Hillary Clinton says this, but she's wrong because of this. Because in 1983, this is what happened, and she said it didn't happen. Well, you know, all political speech is artistic in nature. It is almost all manipulative, and it's all lies. You know, fact-checking a lie is silly. They're all lying to you. None of it's true. They are using events to draw a picture for you. And if you like the picture that they're drawing, then you vote for them. And if you don't, then you vote for the other guy, or you don't vote at all. That's political speech. It's an art form. It is not mathematics. It is not arithmetic. It is not an equation. It can be. I mean, it can be very specific, or it can be inspiring, or it can be uninspiring, or it can be shocking, or any number of things. But speech is like beating a drum. You don't fact check a drum beat. You don't go, you know, that drum beat is wrong. It's just a drum beat. You know, if you don't like it, listen to something else. If you don't like that shuffle, you know, you go find another shuffle, you know, to listen to or to imitate. And that's what politicians do. They're, in a way, in an odd sort of way, they're like artists, or the good ones especially, or musicians playing, or poets. They're playing a tune. They're playing a chord that resonates with people. And that's what they do. Fact-checking a politician is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard, because these reporters don't actually fact check stories to begin with. They just write what somebody else says, or they write from a press release. And I'm sorry to go on and on with it, but I kind of got carried away with all that. But I felt that you know, I mean, I've talked a lot about that because we're so poorly informed on the contours of issues before they happen, that when these things happen that are often referred to as black swan events, that is unpredictable events that surprise. Not predictable events that might be surprising to some, but not others, but truly shocking events. You know, President Kennedy's assassination, 9/11, Pearl Harbor, a potentially predictable event, but really they didn't even think the Japanese could do that. It was literally a surprise because they didn't realize the implication of aircraft carriers. You know, did Colonel Billy Mitchell know? Yes. But did Jimmy Doolittle know? Yes. But those guys were, you know, the people that understood the potential of the Japanese Navy in 1940 certainly were far and few between. Speaking of Pearl Harbor, you know, it's funny. It's almost 2 o'clock, and these planes are still flying over. I don't know why that. Maybe there was a storm someplace. Maybe they're Maybe it's chemtrails, man. That's what it is. I guess what I'm saying is this is what I'm talking about when I talk about it, and I want to define this clearly. I want people to kind of think about it this 4th of July weekend when you're watching the fireworks and spending time with your family, which is really what's important, and spending time to think and taking your day, you know, enjoying your weekend off or your sort of summer break, and enjoying your kids that are back from college, and just enjoying them for the way that they are, and getting away from that constant drub of that heating up and cooling down, and what this guy says about that, and what this guy did, and what this politician says, and what this event happened, and so forth. I think we're at the end of a period in history. And, you know, some events that are, you know, truly black swan events have the power to influence governments and people's behavior long into the future. You know, I think 9/11 will have an influence, you know, for decades, not just in the last 16 years, the last 15 years, or maybe the last 10 years. And I think that we're coming up on an event. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think it's going to happen soon. And I think it might happen before the election. But we'll see. We're coming up on an event that is going to change everything. And when it happens, you'll know it. And everyone will know it because everyone will be talking about it. And everyone will be talking about how it's a big surprise and how could this have happened. And could it be a good event? Maybe. I mean, they could discover fusion, you know, or something. Who knows? But something big is coming because there's a lot of reasons. And I almost, as I said, it slips through your fingers. You know, you don't want to define it because it can't be predicted. I can't predict this event. And I don't think anybody can. You could be the smartest guy in the world. You can't say this is what's going to happen. Look at all the things. Artificial intelligence, you know, slow economic growth worldwide, you know, high levels of corporate and sovereign debt worldwide. Companies struggling to make money, and yet some companies making a huge amount of money. Central banks printing money, you know, all of this weird, you know, sentiment, nationalists supposedly sentiment, and this general feeling among the electorate that something is wrong, and they just want a change. They're not sure what, they're not sure why. You know, all of these political cross currents, and all of these angry people on television telling people what they should do, and that they need to sit down and shut up, and that this one should say this, and people, you know, all this fighting and all of this just anger and it's just, it's balling up, and it feels like we're going to have an event that is going to lead to something else. And I don't know what that is. I mean, the religious person would say, yeah, it's going to be the rapture. I doubt it. You know, I'm not going to put it past that from happening. On the other hand, I watched a YouTube video the other night from some guy that says they've got holographic technology that they could easily project Jesus coming down from the heavens. I mean, who knows what they're going to come up with or what will happen. I tend to believe that those kinds of stories are apocalyptic, or apocalyptic stories are really just, you know, fairy tales, and that the real reality is things aren't—they're not on top of things as much as we would like to believe that they are, and they don't have the kind of power that we would like to believe that they have. And the big secret is that they don't have the kind of power that they say that they do, and that the conspiracy theorists say that they do, and everyone else, and that they're just as confused as anyone else, which causes me to be uneasy even more, and because I think that that is in fact really the case. I think our leaders are really unprepared. I think they know less than what we think they know. One of the things I've learned is the more you know, the less you know. And I think we're headed down a track that we've lost our way to a degree. And when that happens, things have a way of intervening, and you find your way again. And I just think we're going to say, hey, do you remember 2016, how things were? And isn't it weird how much things have changed in such a short period of time when that moment finally arrives? Just like, you know, people say, hey, do you remember 1971? Do you remember 1974, the summer of 1974? I remember the summer of 74 vividly, you know. Do you remember the summer of 1974? I remember sitting in the back of a 1965 Mercury, a broken down 1965 Mercury station wagon, driving to St. Joseph, Michigan, with my friend, my friends Tony and Jesse McCarthy, and in this car that had bald tires, and listening to the Hughes Corporation rock the boat on the radio, and listening to Gwen McCrae, you know, rockin' chair on the Big 89 in Chicago, driving up to Michigan, because that was our big independent movement to go, you know, drink some beer in Michigan, because you could drink beer when you're 18 in Michigan or something. I don't know. That was a vivid memory, and now I look back on that and I think, wow, things have changed so much in that time. Now, certain things haven't changed, and certain things have, and I feel dumb just saying that. But everybody remembers the 1960s or the 1970s or the 1990s, and things changed, and things are about to change again. And I guess you know, it's very hard to define this. But I don't want to do a podcast about a bunch of things that are happening right now, because that's not where everyone is. Everyone is at, you know, what are we going to have? What are we taking up to the lake for 4th of July? You know, what are we going to have? And, you know, who's going to be there? Are we going to have, is there going to be enough beer? Is there going to be enough? We have enough brats. I want those cheese-filled brats. Make sure you get those. Everybody's getting ready for the weekend. So it's very hard to say, you know, I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to talk about these five things like I would do on talk radio. I don't envy the people that have to go on the radio every day and talk about this crap, because it's just crap. Something's coming. It's going to be unpredictable. We're not going to know what it is. It's going to change everything, and then we'll have something to talk about, you know, and I'll find other stuff to talk about. I always do. But I think it's important on the 4th of July to just kind of throw this out there and just kind of let it float down the river and let people think about it. Thanks once again to xgovernmentcars.com for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast and for finding Mobile Podcast Command, the Ford 450 Super Duty diesel ambulance from xgovernmentcars.com. Remember, fast financing, great value on trades, and of course, a great selection of one-owner, fleet-maintained government vehicles, trucks, SUVs, and fleet cars at xgovernmentcars.com. Now open in Forest Lake, 763-777-8782.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Remember, for client appreciation, if you have a growing business, why not try something that's really new and different for your diverse set of clients at Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park. Brush Studio events are held in a relaxed and social setting. It's a great place. They got room for 55 people. Plus, they have 22 brands of beer and an extensive wine collection, catering from Crave. They are event planning ninjas. Find out about Brush Studio at brushstudio.net or reach out to them at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. They can solve your client appreciation problem / opportunity with a really cool, fun event. Pilots, remember, don't forget, first of all, that the EAA Air Show is coming up, and Alpha Systems is going to be there. If you want to see the Alpha Systems angle of attack indicator demonstrated, and if you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, it's all about the FAA-approved Alpha Systems angle of attack indicator. They started the angle of attack revolution. It saves lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com page for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. And thank you for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes, the granddaddy of podcasting, and of course Stitcher.com, which works great for you know, Galaxy devices and non-iPhone devices. Tune in. By the way, Stitcher works with iPhone too, in case you're wondering. Tune in, blogtalkradio.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show in Minneapolis and St. Paul at AM 1280 The Patriot and on GCNLive.com. And thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. On Facebook, well, you can find me on Facebook. I don't engage much on Facebook. Twitter, I'm at BobDavisPodcast.com. And on Instagram, I'm the Bob Davis Podcasts. And I appreciate your donations for Mobile Podcast Command, getting ready to figure out what we're going to do with it this summer. And it's up there getting an oil change and having some front-end work done, so we should be back out on the road soon. So thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. One more thing. I'm sorry to go on. I hate it when these guys online on digital media do these, you know, just a slew of announcements at the beginning of their little podcast on YouTube or whatever. And I kind of hate it at the end, but I got to do it. And that is, please don't forget to sign up for the newsletter, the Bob Line at thebobdavispodcast.com. I have to do this. I can't just send you stuff as a newsletter, you know, to some email. I've got to build a separate list, and that's what we're doing. So sign up for that, and you will soon get, you know, my my newsletter, which I'll tell you all about going forward. But please don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. And thanks for listening to Podcast 519, which may very well be the last podcast in June of 2016. Thanks for listening to Podcast 519, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Come to me, baby.